investigation. And to Joanne.
Hello, we are back with our next part of our interview, number two, with Simon. And we're going to move a little bit further forward in time now because there is so much to cover. And maybe we'll come back to Simon another time. But we're just going to allow Simon to begin where he feels we have some really important information to come through.
Okay, right. I think I'd like to quickly jump forward to 1971. It's one of the most complex experiences that I'd had.
Can I just ask you just for a sort of a reference point
about
sort of your 11 age?
About 11 and three quarters.
Okay.
And it's when I made an agreement with them. I actually remember making an agreement with them. I'd been taken on board the craft, and the being, it's a mantid being, again, with a purple cloak, the same one that has called me, I'm your mother, about 9 foot tall. I'm hysterical. I'm screaming and crying because I'm on this spaceship where it appears to be a school taking place where children are being taught. They're all girls. I'm the only boy there. And I'm being told to wait because someone's going to come and collect you. You're not coming to school. You're going to be collected. And then this being sort of marches towards me. I don't run away because in the back of my head I think I know this creature. And then he walks straight up to me, looks down and puts his two hands on my shoulders and says, would you like to be like us, to have knowledge and understanding, to know the future and see the past? But I never let him finish the sentence because I'm so interested in the past and the future. I say, yes, because I really want to know about the past and I really want to know about the future. And as soon as I say that, his hand drops down off my shoulder, takes my right hand and he says, then come with me. Now, this is really important because it empowered me. I realized that I had made an agreement. No longer was it a case of them coming and taking me and doing stuff and dropping me back. I've actually agreed to it. Now, I'll be honest, with these things, you give them an inch and they'll take a mile. So I didn't agree to go on a spaceship, or I didn't agree for an implant, etc., etc. But they have implication is that I have. Because I've made an agreement, they'll now interpret that in a very wide angle. But what I would say to you is that most people who are experiencers do not remember the agreement. They're not permitted to remember it. And the reason for it is that this is your get out of jail free card.
In what terms?
I'm not going to say, because they might be extremely cross with me. I'll tell you this, if I bought a sofa from a shop and I sit on my sofa and I say, this is bloody uncomfortable, I don't like this, I don't want this sofa anymore, I want out, and I go to the shop and I say, I want my money back, take the sofa away, say, where's your receipt? Where's the receipt? I haven't got the receipt. I can't remember it. Ah, then you can't. That's my receipt. And the only reason they've let me have the receipt is because they know I won't use it. They know that I won't cash it in to be out. So I've been permitted that. Because they're so confident that I won't want to jump ship. So that's important, that I believe that every experiencer has an agreement, but they're not permitted to remember that agreement. And I think that's you know, where's free
and do
will.
You think that knowledge has changed your relationship?
Well, it's made me feel better, because until I realised that, it's a case of, well, who told you to come and get me? Who gave you permission? You don't have permission to do that. But I don't feel that. I never felt that very much. When I was in their world, because I've never been badly treated, I've always been, in fact, they've been nicer to me than humankind have. And that's a horrible thing to say, but it's actually the truth. So I've never, ever been unhappy in their care at all. But when you're in your own world here and you're thinking about it, you think, well, who said they could come and do that? And you think, well, who gave you the right to do that? Well, I did.
Yeah.
I gave them the right to do it.
And do you think that was a contract for just from this life, or do you think that was a soul contract from eons ago that is being reactivated? Or
I don't know. This is a
what I call the body and soul, the soul and body agreement. There's more. This is not just an ordinary soul agreement. In this case, I'm being offered not you can become us, but would you like to be, would you like to experience what
we
are?
Be like us.
And I believe that what I gave the agreement to was for the right to have my soul taken out of my body, put into one of their bodies, and then to interact as one of them for a short period of time, and experience what it's like to be an extraterrestrial of this faction, of this group, mm-hmm. and then my soul is put back into my body. And I believe that was the real crux of that agreement.
Okay. So have you had that experience?
Several. I mean, that's why I have a problem. I know lots of experiencers get very emotional about talking about it. I don't. The only time I get emotional is with people who are abducted, particularly women, and have things done to them. Because although it's very difficult for people to accept, I have in their body been on an abduction. I have seen exactly what it's like. And when you're there in their body,
sort of overseeing the process. Oh,
absolutely, because mm-hmm. the hierarchy of the mantids, the lowest is the doctor, the second is the pilot, the third is the master, and these are the ones with the purple cloaks. There are higher ones above them, but they're like the coordinators. Mm-hmm. But whenever you're doing an abduction, you always have a doctor with you. Always have doctors with you.
Have you had any experiences where they have interacted with human collusion? So whilst the abduction's going on with humans, the humans, other humans have been involved.
That would be the 19th. This is the same one.
You're referring to my labs, military abductions.
Possibly, or any other faction of human.
One that I'm aware of. That's the 1971. Too long to go into now, but basically I'm put into what I call an overblown dentist's chair. Very big chair, looks just like a dentist chair, and a big screen in front of me, and lots of interaction through the screen. And in the corner are five human scientists. They're in white coats. There's four men and one woman working on some machines. And behind them is a corridor, and another five or six people, some in uniform. There's one lady there, like a telephonist. She's got a thing on her head, and like, she can speak. It's not like,
you know. Are you aware that you're in this country, or do you have any sense of nationality?
Because it's out of context. Because I haven't talked about this. Well, this is. I ask. There's the room is controlled by a computer, mm-hmm. And I ask the computer what its name is, and the computer says, "I haven't got a name. Would you like to name me?" And I say, "No, I'm not going to name you. Am I on a spaceship or a fixed installation?" And its reply is both, which isn't helpful but is truthful. So it's actually a spaceship, but it's a self-contained pod.
Right.
Where there's time. All I know is there's time involved, and I'm being tested. I have a crew. I have a crew, but it's not flying in the true sense of the word. And I'm given scenarios that play out on the screen. There's a war going to start, and I have to avert that war, and I'm given bare facts, and then I have to go around my crew and get more information and make a decision.
So these are sort of instructional, tuitional.
Joanne, I don't know what they are. All I know is that I'm being tested, and I know it's a test because before this I've met the Great One. He's the mantid in charge of all mantids, and he's about 12 feet tall, and he has a throne, and he has two reptilian bodyguards. And when he's on the screen, when he talks everyone else has to leave the room. No one else. And Mum says to me, "I've never even seen the Great One. I've never even seen the Great One." So everyone's ushered out of the room, and it's just me in this dentist's chair, and the screen, and the Great One. And the Great One talks to me and says, "There's a task coming up. I accept you into the family." That's what he says. It said he was preordained that I would accept you, but the task is not fully known. If the task fails, all is lost. But it says to me, "The light is strong in you, young one. You know, be brave." So he's the greatest, and he has an insignia. It's 12 inches long. It's like a cross, sort of small cross, and there's a beautiful green gem
like a Carbuchon shape. Beautiful green gem here and two purple ones here. And when he leans through the screen, it's like 3D gone mad. It's just like real, as if he's just come out of the screen. He just leans out and it's like he's really in front with you. Mm. He's not, but it's the technology that's projected. Mm. So that was a great honour. And I recognise him as my superior in rank terms, but not in life form terms, because we're all equal.
Yes.
They're not greater than us, but in rank terms, in terms of the family, he is the highest one.
And do you have any sort of sense or understanding of where they come from, where they're situated?
I'm probably the world's worst person here, because a couple of times where they've asked me, you haven't asked my name. And I say, I don't want to know your name. I'm not interested in your name. Hmm. And if they have ever mentioned a home planet, or I don't remember it. I've only got about two or three names of all the things. I think the thing is that when they come, we have a job to do. We have a job to do, and, you know, some of my more recent experiences, I'll say to them, what are we going to do today? And I'll say, I've come to show you things, and I'll, because you're not quite in your right mind, and I'll say, oh, goody. This is odd because I'm not a kid, but oh, goody, I like it when you show me things. So it's very structured. This is what you do, and this is how you interact, and this is what should happen. And then they bring me back. So I'm not like one of these people that they'll sit and talk to me about the future of the Earth, etc. This is the role that you have with us. This is what you'll do.
And do you know what that is? Are you able to say what it is, or describe it?
Yeah, it's dead simple, because what they've said to me is, I exist in two worlds.
Yes.
That's what they've said to me. You exist in two worlds, and your genetic material is able to survive in our world. We have been able to take your soul out of your body, put it in one of ours. Therefore, we wish to make hybrids of your genetic material, because they will last longer on the Earth. Because up till very recently, hybrids don't last. They just don't last long.
Right.
So that's...
About 36 hours? Do you get about 36 hours?
I don't know.
A day, 2 days, 3 days?
I would say weeks. I wouldn't say that short. I'd certainly say you get weeks out of those. They've been at this for thousands of years. I really expect them to have moved on from that. I would say that what happens from the little bit I do know, it isn't that the body degenerates, their minds go.
Oh, is that
hybrid
right?
Hybrid minds go, yes.
Ah, interesting.
We would call it insanity. But that's what will happen to them. And it's fairly unpleasant, but... So that's what they're after with me. And it's odd that part of this deal is that I experience in their bodies. So, for instance, in their bodies, I will give orders to Greys, little tiny, you know, that I call the little helpers when I was small. And I hate them, because their job is just to do. They little Greys are there to serve, and that's awful, because from a human perspective now, you know, these things do have some humanity in them. I'm talking about the robot
Greys
that do have some humanity, maybe very small.
Yeah.
But you see, these really don't respect them at all. They really look on them as the lowest of the low. And the problem is that the Greys have been a subjugated race and are trying to fight back. And what they'll do is they'll sabotage your program. So, for instance, one occasion when I'm in a mounted body and I'm walking down a corridor and there's five humans and a little Grey standing by the side, I'm like, well, they shouldn't be there. You know, it's untidy. That's how you think when it's untidy. This is, you know, it's a nice clear corridor. They shouldn't be here. So I say to the Grey, what are these humans doing here? And the reply is, sitting down. So my question is, why are these humans sitting down? And the reply is, because they have sat down. See how he's been fighting me? So I'll say, you're not answering my questions. If you don't answer them, you know, I will end your life. So who has given these humans permission to sit here? And there's just confusion in his head, because he just can't. So I'll say, return to your duties, and etc. So the problem with the Greys is that they...
Yeah, but what state are the humans in? Are the humans in some kind of myopic...
trance.
Trance?
Absolute trance. Absolute trance, just sitting there quietly. Absolute trance. And what I do is I just say to them, follow me. And then I call for two doctors. And then when the two doctors come, I say to the two doctors, take these humans to a place of safety. And then I turn to the humans and say, follow these two doctors. But the question is what the grey is doing. The grey is trying to, in a very subtle way, hold up the programme, hold it all up. So what he's doing is he was supposed to have taken those five humans to some venue and has just said, stay there, and just left them there. And they'll do things like that. So there's a very, very hate relationship between all the what I'd call the leading extraterrestrials, are your reptiles, and they're your mantids, and how they view the greys, not the original race of greys. They're the ones with the small eyes. They still have a lot of humanity in them. Mm. But the greys that are manufactured, they're the ones with the wraparound eyes.
Yeah, so what about the taller ones? You hear about
the tall greys. No, they're very different. Like a, they are. Yes. They have, they're spiritual.
Oh, okay.
They're quite spiritual. When I was with this being in the very early stages of 1971.
So that's the...
Yes, the mantid. Mummy. Going up what I call like a walkway. Mm-hmm. We're walking... being transported up a walkway, and where there are little greys in front of us, he says to them, get out of the way. But when there's a tall grey or a Nordic, mm-hmm. he says, move aside quickly. Mm-hmm. So he's changing his response to them. So little greys, and that's why I really don't respect the little greys, because I've
been... This has been your experience, your teaching.
With it. Yes, mm. exactly.
Mm. So... What is then, do you think, your overall job to do here?
Well, I don't know here. I mean, I operate machines for them, machines they can't operate when I'm in their world.
Why can't they operate them?
That I don't know. Ah. These are machines that operate a portal.
Okay.
So I put my two hands onto a plate, and then a circular, two triangular rods come down like that, and then... It's like a portal, and it will bring things through. So there was one creature that I had to transport through, and I hate him, and I don't know why they've asked me to do it. I've got a situation with him where I've seen him before, and he's not very pleasant. And he comes through, and he just gives me a real, I find the drawing, real nasty look. He's got red eyes.
Not this.
No, that's a reptile. No, it'll be in the other drawing.
Ah, right. Okay.
And he's got red, like glowing coal eyes. And then I just escort him, and he makes a presentation to in a small like auditorium to maybe 15 or 20 extraterrestrials, and then he comes away, and I just operate the portal, and off he goes again. So that's a machine that I understand only I can operate, or a human can operate, not just me. Mm. Humans operate this machine. But the other one I'll talk about was the reptile, which I refer to as Daddy. And this is the reptile that chucked us out of Eden all that time ago. Mm-hmm. And this is 1966. I know that because I can date it because I make reference to a television advert in the memory. And I'm collected by a creature, this one here, and passed on to another creature. And as we approach, we're underground, we're under a cave, it's really hot. And the creature that I'm with says, do you see this great lord approaching you? Do you know who that is? And I say, yes, of course, that's Daddy. And he says, then go and greet him. But this creature actually gets down on and prostrates himself absolutely flat to this one and says, I have brought the one, my lord. And then I go up to him and say, hello, Daddy. And he says to me, you who call me father. And it sounds really awful because it's like, oh, my God, he's going to turn on me. And he says, for you are my son. I created you. I made you is the word he uses. Mm. And I say, are you happy, Daddy? And he says, I am pleased. And I say, it's really hot here. And he says, I go into a tank and I come out and I'm really cool. And he says, the effects of this will last many hours. And I say to him, will you hold my hand, Daddy, although it's very cool? He says, yeah, I can hold your hand because I know he's hot.
Mm.
And if he doesn't like cold, and if so he's fine, he holds my hand. It's very unpleasant, this bit, I will tell you. And again, I go into a room, and it's a dentist's chair, and it's a circular room. And I say, who commands here? And he says, whoever sits in the chair. Would you like to command? Oh, yes, please, because I'm only little and I'm very polite in those days. So I get in the chair. And
so just remind us, what sort of age
it's about 6 years old. Six or seven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no older.
Well, this sounds very like the trip seat or the Montauk chair. Which would imply, is this some kind of hypnagogic dream state you've been induced into dreaming?
Well, I'll tell you.
I mean, it's very similar.
I can bring up images in my mind. That's what happens. And he says to me, "What would you like?" just says to me, what would you like? And I say, what can I have? And he says, what about a pretty young female? So I say, oh, yes, please. Can I have a pretty young female like Prickles? That's the nickname. That's the one that come to get me. And she's a lion person, but she's a reptilian lion. She says to me when she arrives, I am a servant of the reptile race. And her name is Zuka Lahlahla. That's her name. Zuka Lahlahla. That's her real name. Zuka is her original lion name, but when she defected to the reptile race, they added the Lahlahla to it. So her name incorporates the fact that she has been subverted from one race to another. And this isn't her body. This is just a costume. This isn't part of her body. It's just, but it's to represent the wings of an Alpha Draconis, of a reptile. And this is just a mask that she wears over her face. Just a mask. So she could take all that off. It's just like a uniform. So I'm on this chair, and he's offered me this pretty young female, and I say, can I have her, or can I have, this is really funny, or can I have the woman on the Fry's Turkish Delight advert that's on television? And he says...
As a six-year-old boy.
Yes, yeah. And he says to me, think of her, and she is yours. So I imagine her, and there she is. And she's there with a veil and everything. She's sitting on me. And without being too crude, he says, do you know what to do with her? And I say, no. He says, well, I'll enter your mind and show you what to do. So without going into horrific detail, have sex with her. It's not real. It's all holographic.
At 6 years old?
Yes. And he is instructing me how to have sex. And he says, the woman, it's awful this, isn't it? The man is there to take, the woman is there to give. And he says, the only reason that woman is put on the earth is to serve and to make replacements. That's the word he uses, make replacements. And then when we've had sex, he says, now father and son have shared a female. He said, would you like to eat her? And I say, no, because I'm only six. And I say, no, if she's going to have a baby, and if it grows, I want it to look like me. And he says, no, she is not manifest. She is only in our minds. And he says, would you like to feast on flesh? And I say, no, I don't really want to do that. Why do I have to do that? And he says, you don't have to do it. But if you do it, we will become father and son. And I said, but I thought we were father and son. In our law, that's the reptilian law, father must feast on vanquished flesh with his son before you are. So I do. I eat this holographic Fry's Turkish Delight lady who's screaming. It's really realistic. And my teeth aren't made for it. But then he says, enough feasting. And she just vanishes. And then he says, we are now father and son. And then he says to me, would you like to command armies? And I say, no, not really. And he says, well, if not to kill and conquer, what do you want? Because it doesn't know any different. And I said, well, I'd like to help people, show people what to do and where to go. And he says, with your tactical mind and your ability to lead, you could win victories for us that others have not won. And he says, you know, imagine going from star system to star system. And he's just really going, and I'm saying, no, I'm not interested. But I'm being very, very careful. I'm not actually coming out and saying no. Because of all the creatures, he scares the pants off me. Because he's not got an ounce of humanity in him. He's not. These ones are really. These are quite. You know. There's a bit spiritual in them. There's a bit of spirituality in them. But these isn't. So anyway, we agree to disagree. And basically, he says, I'm going to hold the offer open to you. It will always be open. And he says, I will treat you as my son, except in one way. You cannot rise to the succession. You cannot succeed. And this was the very latest memory, because these memories, I find them unpleasant, because these creatures are unpleasant. Compared to the others, they're loving. I mean, the other one, the mantid, I mean, I will hug it, I will hold it, and it will put its arms around me. And they've never rejected me. Now, he's never been nasty, but, you know, it's not pleasant.
So what do you think, then, your relationship is now with these two very different races, let's say? Do you have an overview of
Well, they're both working together. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. They're both. It's both part of a project. But I know for a fact that the mantids are playing a double game against the reptilians, because when I've been on the mantid mothership, I've said, this is spying on the Earth, isn't it? And mantid mum says, well, we're watching the Earth governments. That's what it says.
What are these motherships like? Can you get a description?
Imagine a hammerhead shark. Imagine a profile of a hammerhead shark.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. And then inside you've got...
You mean the front section of a hammerhead shark?
Think of a long tube, and then that sort of front bit of the hammerhead.
Yeah.
And that's where the control rooms are there.
What sort of size?
I don't know.
Big?
Oh, God, yeah, huge, absolutely huge. I mean, I've walked along the corridor where the control room is, and they're banked. Careful, Miles. They're banked, and you can sort of layers of control. So you've got five or six.
So you've walked along the corridor?
Yeah, it's like, think of Concorde. You've got a narrow corridor, and then there's the cockpit at the end. So here what you're doing is you're walking along the corridor, but instead of a narrow cockpit, it's wide like this. And then you've got layers of people, of mantids operating computers. So there's one layer here, and then there's another layer here. So they're tiered. And each layer's got his screen in front of him. And what Mum was saying is, yeah, you know, we're spying on the Earth government. And I should say that when they talk about the Earth government, they talk about America. To them, there is only one government of the Earth, and that's America.
Mm-hmm.
So when they talk about my government, they don't mean in Britain.
Mm.
They mean they say that America speaks for the world, as mm-hmm. far as they're concerned.
Mm-hmm. And do they say what their concerns are, and do they voice those?
No, because all they'll say to me is, I say to him, I say to him, spying on the Earth, and he says, yes, we share information. So that is with other with the reptiles particularly. We share information, and I say to him, but you don't share everything. And he touches my face and says, your family, you understand. I.e., we are not sharing everything that we know that's going on. So in effect, although they are all signed up to the same overall agenda, each group is playing its own game.
And what is the overall agenda?
Overall agenda will be to repopulate the Earth with hybrids. That's the agenda. To repopulate the Earth at a time when the Earth doesn't have very many humans on it.
Has that already begun?
It has, but it hasn't happened in a large way.
And are either of the different races, the mantids or the reptiles, involved with the governments on the ground? At the coalface, face to face?
The only thing that they've told me is that they have, I don't know what you call it, like an intermediary.
Mm-hmm.
They have somebody who is an intermediary between them. I know what you're asking. I can't answer that because they've not told me that. But all they say is there is an intermediary. So if there's a situation that occurs, rather than it going nuclear, for want of a better word, they're like the red phone. They have a method to get to that government very quickly through somebody who can carry the dialogue forward.
Would you know that if, just taking in mind the fact that you have a personal contract made, is there then a national contract, say, with the American people?
Yes, they've said to me that's why your government is the American government. We have the agreement with the American government. That's what they've said to me.
Oh, so they have a contract?
Oh, God, yeah. But they don't call it a contract.
Okay.
Agreement.
An agreement.
We have an agreement with your government.
Is this an ancient agreement?
I don't know. No. All they've said is we have an agreement with your government. That government, America, speaks for the Earth.
So do we know what the agreement is from the American side?
I don't know. All I know is there's an agreement which is binding both sides. And it allows them to do what they do. But within that contract, everybody is doing its own thing.
So when you say do what they do, are we specifically talking or referencing abductions?
Oh, God, genetic work? Absolutely. Oh, God, yeah, it's part of the deal.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because I've been on a ship where it's another ship, it's not the mothership, where all that mantids are doing, we call it timelines, human timelines. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the mantid word is, but in the English version would be human timelines. So when you abduct somebody, it's hugely complex. You have to get them at 13 seconds past, you know, it has to be absolutely right. And I've got drawings here where I've been into a craft where there have been 8, 9, 10 mantids all working on computers, all calculating different people's timelines, and put it, it's project management, because you're going to abduct this one in, say, California at 2 minutes past 2, and at 3 minutes past 2, you've got to be in Japan doing this. And they project manage it all out for weeks ahead. When I've had an experience where I hadn't seen Mum for 2 weeks, and I was really cross with him, and I said, why have you left it so long to come and see me? Because we see very regularly. And he says, I can't always come when you want me to. And often when they're doing their project management, something else will come up, which is more important. So it has to be slotted in. So I've actually seen them working, and on the ship is 2 layers. They then send that information up from the bottom, from the ground floor, if you like, to the next coordinators. And they're the ones then that authorise which individuals to go and work and abduct that person. So it's absolutely worked out weeks ahead.
So it's all about the genetics.
It's all about genetics, all about the souls. It's all about,
tell us a bit about the souls.
The souls.
As far as you're aware.
As far as I'm aware, because I'll only tell you what I know, what I've seen.
Of course.
Where they've had an association with a soul, it could be good or bad. So where it's a good association, they will work with that individual. So any individual that's getting a reasonably okay interaction, they're happy with that soul of that. They'll know that soul for many hundreds or thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're not happy with that, that soul has fought against them at some point in history,
mm-hmm.
in a different body, has worked against them, thwarted them. And when that soul manifests itself, they want to isolate that person and lock them out so they cannot then work against them.
Mm-hmm. Do they target specific elements of genetics? For example, Celtic has often been referenced in people who've been abducted. Often there's great...
They've told me Celtic, what we call Romani or Gypsy, and Jewish. And what they've said is...
And North American Indian have also
Yes, because where the bloodline is not as diluted, where people have kept within their own groups,
mm-hmm.
That's allowed them to be closest to the original humans. That's what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. When you widely, you know, diversify, you lose that. But where groups have either religious or local customs that don't allow them to marry mm-hmm. outside of that group, you are unintentionally or intentionally keeping it as pure as you can. So they come for that because those genetics were the genetics they worked with 2,000 years ago, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And you don't put the soul, what did Jesus say? You don't put new wine into old wine sacks because it will split it. And you, when you have a soul, depending on what its importance to them is, they will actually look. And they have some method of moving it into a body. So my soul will always manifest in a male.
Mm-hmm.
It will never manifest in a female. And they can track where that soul goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might say, in 30 years' time, that person is going to be a real danger to us. So we've got to stop them now. Or they might say, that person's really important. We don't want to fall into the wrong hands or what have you.
And do these two groups that also work with, are they controlled by a higher force?
I have seen an image shown to me of a pyramid, of a pyramid, of a pyramid, of a pyramid. These are fourth dimension beings. They're only just mm-hmm. there. They're only mm-hmm. just, they're not far away from us. They're just, mm-hmm. just there. But there are other dimensions higher.
Sure.
And there are good and bad, and they're being manipulated, just as some of the human race has been manipulated, I'm no
mm-hmm.
doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're into this power game, some of them, not all of them,
mm-hmm.
and of course they accept that.
So what is the goal then?
The goal is
hybridization.
The goal is to survive on the Earth, when the Earth makes the changes. You see,
So is there an interest then in living on the planet?
Yes, if they can. Mm-hmm. Yes, they want to experience our dimensionality. They want to be able to physically feel.
So would you go so far as to say that it might be a takeover, or was this a...
No, because they would have done that by now.
Right.
You know,
okay.
They would have done. They could have done it in the Stone Age.
Playing devil's advocate. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
No, they're not allowed to do that because the law won't allow them. The greater law won't allow them. They've got to do it when they're either invited to do it, or the Earth is so depopulated that it doesn't matter anymore. And it's going to happen one way or the other, and they're just waiting their time.
Mm. You mentioned this Earth being depopulated. I mean, we've got the Georgia Guidestones and imminent destruction, reduction of the population. Are you referring to that? Do you have any information about
all, how that's going to happen? All I can tell you is that I have been told that there is some big traumatic times coming, but I personally am not to worry. What they've said to me is you will always be given food, you will always be given water. And I actually said to them, what will I do for company? Because if you're going to, not you, killer, but if all the human race are going to be got rid of, what will I do for company? And what they've turned to me and says, you already know that you're compatible with any female here. So when I meant company, I don't think I meant that. I think I meant friends.
Yes, yes.
But they just imagined, thought Adam and Eve, oh, company, yes. Female. Mm. They've said to me there are traumatic times to come. Mm. But you see, it's all it's positive as well, because my own belief from the little that I've picked up from them is that we as humans are going to be given a choice to either stay on this earth or spiritually evolve. And if enough of us want to spiritually evolve, this ain't going to happen. But if we don't, as a race, spiritually evolve and sort out our problems, then we are going to have some very difficult times.
And by spiritually evolving, if we're not going to be on the planet, does that mean we'll be in a parallel dimension?
Yes. I mean, it's not about spaceships landing necessarily and being loaded on them and carted off. Mm. Although that could happen, because it might be that a benign race might think, I don't like what's going on here, and offer people, but then you don't know whether that's a genuine offer or not.
Yes.
But I think what I'm looking forward to would be... the opportunity to embrace love, the opportunity to embrace a higher goodness, and to be able to say, right, I want to move on to whatever it might be the fifth dimension. I'm ready for that. I want to go.
How often do you have interactions with your people?
I'm writing a book at the moment.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. It's called 51 Years of Alien Abduction. I beg your pardon. It's called Alien Abduction, 51 Years of Extraterrestrial Contact. Mm. And at the moment, I'm being left alone. And that's, they want me to write the book. Prior to that, I keep a calendar and I mark on it when it happens. So between 3 times and 5 times a month.
Okay.
Between 3 and 5 times a month. And then it might be that I'll get 2 or 3 very close together and then a gap. You know, that they have come when my wife's been in the room. You know.
And when that happens, is she disturbed at all? She's not aware?
No, well, she goes into slow motion. What happens is that there's like a bubble that comes round, and she just immediately goes into slow motion because they don't want her involved. So they freeze time. But I'm not put into slow motion because I'm the subject of the interaction. Sure. So she goes into very, very slow motion. Well, a good example will be when I open the dishwasher to take the pots out and that, and I touch them and say, oh, it's very hot. I'll just leave the dishwasher open and let it cool down a little bit. So I go back into the kitchen and I say to her, be careful because the door of the dishwasher is right down. Don't trip over it. And the very next thing I can remember is opening the dishwasher door and saying to my wife, I'm just going to open the dishwasher door and let it cool down a bit. Put my hand on the pots and it's stone cold. And I said, oh, it's broken. The heating element must have broken. It's not more hot. It's not. And so she comes up and says, oh, God, that's all we need. And then she says, but you've just said that. I said, what do you mean I've just said that? Well, you just said that. So how long ago did I say that? She said, I don't know, maybe a quarter of an hour ago. So I look at my watch, and my watch is fine for time. And I said, well, what did we do in the 15 minutes between saying that? And she, I don't know. I don't know what we did. I can't remember. And whatever happens, if she's with me, she just has 20 minutes or 30 minutes of, I don't remember. I just remember that. And they'll just come and do what they do, take me away, bring me back. And on one occasion, this particular creature, as a female, has looked at her and said, "Is this your human mate?" And I said, "Yes." And then this particular creature has gone, "Huh." And I'm very worried that she is going to attack my human mate. Mm. And I say, "I haven't got any children with her," to try and placate her. And she says, "No, but you have them with me and others." And that's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Do you know your children?
Yes,
your other dimensional
I've got children.
Children?
Yes,
Have you got them?
Well, yeah, but you can find. Hang on. These are lion. It's a lion being. It's the same one that I talked to you about earlier on. The one that I had a ride on at back.
Oh yes.
And it was bonding. Now they only have twins. Whenever they just have twins. They'll never have a single child. So I've got 10 with this
reminds
one.
Reminds me of a certain. German gentleman.
If I've got, I can find it. See, we should have had all this already, shouldn't we, hey?
Well, never mind, we didn't know we were going to pop into this
element. Here we are.
Element.
Wait a minute. There they are. I'll just do the drawings here. I've got the names of three of them. I have sex with her, and it's quite graphic, so I won't say that. I've been taught to growl.
Roar.
Yeah. So here are the kids. Now this one's Zarka. What they did was they dressed them up for me. All the girls had pink bows on their heads and all the boys had blue ties because they said you won't be able to tell the difference between male and female, and I couldn't.
Oh, right.
And they said also because it's in honour of the fact that they're half human and half for us, so we're trying to show like the human element to it.
Mm-hmm.
The female names all begin with Z, so the Zarka and Zauf, but the male is Rikal.
Mm.
And they're all twins, they're all set groups of twins. And I say, they are all very beautiful, my heart is happy to behold them. And the Lion Queen says to me, it is right that you protect your offspring. This is her attendant, she's actually a bodyguard, she's extremely strong.
So, Simon's picture there of his children, have you had much interaction with them?
No, they don't need me. No. It's just a case of, they know as a human,
You provided the genetic material.
Yeah, they're saying to me, this is what you've done. This, here they are.
Right.
But they don't need me. And I say to her, do they know who I am? And she says, of course they know who you are, the Adam. You've provided them the life. And willingly, i.e. they didn't forcibly take the genetic material from me. You've done it willingly. Mm. And that's very important to them. And she says here, this meeting has exceeded my expectations. The bonding has never been so strong. You have a word, love. Its meaning is different with us, but I say to you, the Adam, I love you. Now we must go. So they don't know, they don't feel and understand as we do, but they know the value of our words,
yeah.
So they'll use them to try and communicate. So this is the Lion Queen who I was bonded with right back in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
Have been for thousands of years. Every time my soul comes into another male body, she will come through. Now, this is the really tough bit to grasp. She will live maybe 2,000 or 3,000 years old. She has the choice to rejuvenate her body, clone her body, but her culture isn't. It passes to the next daughter. So she's got, say, 5 or 6 female children.
Mm-hmm.
When she's ready to die, her soul is taken out of her body. The soul from the one she chooses, female, comes out and is put into storage. Her soul goes into that child. That then becomes the Cat Queen. She then comes and visits me. I'll be in another body at that point. She becomes pregnant, has 2 children, always twins. One is a female. Before the soul enters that one, the soul in storage that she took out is taken.
Yeah.
So in effect, the queen will always be a child of Adam and the previous one.
Right.
So that would be incest in a human. Mm-hmm. You're having sex with your child. Mm. But that's a human value. We've got to not think of human values. Mm. And it keeps it pure. It keeps the genetics exactly as they want it to do. Mm. And so this is definitely non-holographic sex, because it'll happen anywhere. If sex happens in front of a screen, I'm very, very suspicious of it, because it's a holographically produced female.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But here this happens... Well, anyway.
So do you know how many you've got? I know you've said you've got 10 with her.
There's her sister, and there's two with her sister.
Okay.
She decides who can come visit me. I wouldn't let him do that because he'll bite through your cable. He will bite through your cable. He shouldn't be out. So the Queen decides. But that's totally separate from the genetics for making human-alien hybrids.
Right.
When often you hear people talk about hybrids, it's a bit confusing because there are many sorts of hybrids. You could cross a mantid with a reptilian, mm-hmm. or you could cross a grey with something else. Mm-hmm. I know what they mean. They mean human-alien hybrids.
Yes, it's always human hybrids.
Yes.
Yes, always.
So that's
human
separate
hybrids.
From this. This is yes. this is part of some sort of cultural thing that's been going for thousands of years.
Ah, okay. And do you know where the cat folk are from?
They've said to me, Orion. And one group went to, is it Sirius or Sirius?
Sirius.
Sirius. Mm-hmm. One group went to Sirius, but originally from Orion.
Mm-hmm.
And then a sister group, they call it a sister group, went to Sirius.
Okay. And so you're writing your book?
I certainly am, yes.
And when do you expect to?
Early next year, sort of hopefully spring of 2012.
Okay.
12. So hopefully if it works out and the chapters aren't too long, and it will be finished before the end of the year. And I will be covering it. I know that an awful lot of people have experience of a sexual nature with extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. They just can't bring themselves to write it. You know, it's cool to say to a researcher, oh, I've seen a UFO, or I've seen a little grey.
Mm.
But it's quite another thing to say, I've had sex with an alien.
Mm.
And an awful lot of people have, but don't write it because they're just worried. I want the truth out there.
Mm.
This happens, it's true. And it's been happening for thousands of years. This is not new.
Yes.
This is what they do. They come down to the earth, or we are part alien anyway, because we've been created. We are compatible. And, you know, when I'm with her, it doesn't seem unusual. When I look at those drawings and I think, good God. But when you're with them, it's just, this is normal. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it has been going on for thousands of years, well, I'll know her better than anybody else.
True.
Because she's the one constant thing in my life, clearly.
What else would you say that you have sort of gained from this association? You
nothing, to be honest with you. It's all from them, isn't it? It's part of the deal that obviously has been coined. She calls it the bonding. They don't have a marriage. There's no such thing as marriage. Yeah. They don't understand the mode of marriage, but they have a bonding. And she says my necessity to fulfil the bonding is very strong. So in terms of what I get out of it, no, nothing really. I get friendship because, you know, she's a nice creature. But
and do they have any input into your education, your teaching you anything?
No,
or,
no, not at all. No, it's very one-sided.
So that's a whole different element to the mantid side of your...
Totally different. The mantid side is where I will get to see some superb technology, where I'll go on abductions and see some things which probably fairly horrific, but I can see why I was involved. See their spacecraft, see other creatures, operate machines, have some part of the future of the Earth.
Can you describe any of those in detail?
Machines, yeah. I mean,
or the craft or the other people?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a craft where they've been to collect samples from the Earth, and they had a what looked like a pigeon, and the bloody thing got loose and is flying around the spaceship. And there are two mantids, and they're about 8 foot tall, plus their arms are 3 foot, and they're trying to catch this poor bloody bird as it's flying around, and then one of them goes off and gets a device which is about so long with a handle, and now you know how they catch these creatures on the Earth. And he holds it up, and it's not a fan, it just draws it
like a magnet, like a tractor beam.
Yeah, it just draws it to it, not fast, and then as it approaches, the mantid just puts its arm gently hands around it and then takes it away. So I've seen them collecting specimens.
Have you seen anything to do with animal mutilation or
no,
any of that?
No, they wouldn't show me something like that because they know I'd be very cross.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be happy with that at all.
Yeah,
they won't show me anything. That's probably a problem, isn't it? They won't show me anything that I'll get upset with and cross. So unfortunately, I'm not.
Yeah, well, what are the horrific things you mentioned? Horrific things, but
I was talking
show
about
you some horrific things.
Well, yeah, when a hybrid goes mad. basically when hybrids are being created, they look to be all right, but after a period of a few years, they'll just break down in the mind, and they have to be actually isolated and destroyed. Because ETs, full ETs, do not consider hybrids their equal. But what the hybrid body will do is hold a soul, one of their souls or a human soul, and if it's viable, it can stay on the earth. But they don't consider them equal to themselves. So there's a pecking order, if you like.
Goes back to soul harvesting and soul capturing, in which case they would appear to have control over the human death cycle.
That's the cats. They are not. They're not supposed to be involved. They're not supposed. They're not allowed to do it, but they do. There's a greater force. You can call it God if you want. There's a greater force that deems where souls will go, but they do. They have the technology to manipulate it and do it. Yes,
because there are very strong connections now with certain German research during World War II, where soul manipulation, soul splicing was happening. Any research on that?
Well, they've spoke to me of Hitler. If that's what you want to hear about, I mean, they've actually. When one of these experiences, I was taken up on a tall tower under the earth. It's a cavernous thing under the earth where the reptiles are, and I was taken up on a tower, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hybrids underneath me, and I've been taught to raise my hands up like this, and when I do that, then the hybrids raise their hands up and they say to me, they call me father, parent, and I was going up on this thing. I said to Mum, God, this is what the Roman emperors or Hitler must have felt, seeing all these thousands of people in front of you. And on the word Hitler, he turns to me and says, you are correct. When you're dealing with a little grey, you have a certain head movement as a human you must use. When a little grey is giving you problems, it's the Orion group who teach this, and Hitler was taught that.
And can you demonstrate those
head
movements?
Yeah, I will do it for you. Yeah, I'll sit with my glasses. Let's say, for instance, I'm talking to a person and I want to show that I'm totally disinterested and I don't value them. I will go like that. Now, that spooks out a little grey. A little grey can't cope with that, because although greys don't have emotions, they have programs in their heads. Mm-hmm. And when a human or a creature does that to them, they'll go into some sort of shock state, and it allows you to dominate them. But it's very useful in a debate with another human. If you're doing halfway there speaking and you make that head movement, it just completely throws them.
Mm. And Hitler, yes. Hitler, it's cutting off communication, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't describe it. It's more than that. Yes, but it's something very subtle about it. And Hitler was taught that. Hitler was taught to do that. And
By whom?
The reptiles, I presume. Because what I've been told is that they had contact with Hitler, mm-hmm, before the war.
You're talking about the reptilians, or?
The Mantid said to me that the masters, and I think that's the reptiles. I think that's the reptiles, but they didn't say reptiles, they said the masters, and I think that means the reptiles. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that the reptiles came down. The reptiles could have sent an agent down.
Yes.
It could be the greys.
Yeah.
Because the greys predominantly work for the masters. What I will tell you is that all the mantids have chips, implants, in their left shoulders, which the reptiles put in there. The mantids agree to it. Mm-hmm. I have this hand, I call it my tech hand, and this hand is my emotional hand. I've got several drawings where I put my left hand on the shoulder of a mantid, and I can then communicate with the computers. So there's one drawing on the mantid mothership where I want to know what's going on. So I walk up behind a pilot mantid who's working a console, and I put my left hand on his left-hand shoulder. And in the drawing, I turn round to Mum and I say, oh, it's busy down there today. And he says, yes, there is a lot going on today. Mm. So that allows me to communicate. So the reptiles are wonderful, if I can use the word, at microsurgery, at nanotechnology, implants, they're brilliant at that. They can't be beaten. So the mantids, who are great at other things, say, well, we'll have one of those, please. Mm. We'll have that, because mantids work with humans. Mm-hmm. A lot of the abductions, the mantids oversee it. And so they need this piece to allow you to communicate. So I've never been taught to fly a spaceship. I couldn't fly one, but I can feel it. computers, their computers are living. I can't describe it. They're like having a person in a room.
Yes, sort of.
If you can open a conversation with it.
Biophysical interaction.
Yeah, yeah. It's like talking to a great aunt or something. They don't have emotion, but they're friendly. Mm. Hard to describe. So I would think when they mean the Masters, I would think they're meaning the reptile group because it was a negative influence.
Mm.
It was a negative influence.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was for its own purpose.
Elections.
Well, I was a Labour councillor in Hackney for
and
seven
got
years.
A you got a special card and it reached
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can you see that there if I hold
one
that
sec.
Up? This January went to a local card shop that had opened. It's called the Card Factory and I went with my wife and it's only been opened a little while, so everybody went down to buy discounted wrapping paper. And literally standing in the middle of the shop because I don't like crowds and I turn to my left and there's a carousel with some cards on it and that card is slap bang in front of me. I snatch it off the carousel and I say to my wife, what is my picture doing on a birthday card? And she says, what? And I say, what is my picture doing on an F-U-C-K-I-N-G birthday card? And she looks and says, I don't know. And I'm in such a shock that I actually go to the young lady on the till and I buy it and I come home and I just sit here all day until 6 o'clock at night staring at this card thinking what the hell is going on because I never gave permission for that and I don't even remember it. And I think, hang on a minute, there must be other of these cards and I need to speak to my solicitor. So the next morning I went to see my solicitor and although he was consulting, his assistant went and spoke to him and he said, well, first thing you need to do is get all the cards. And he said, unfortunately, I can't help you because it's intellectual copyright. There are only 3 or 4 solicitors in the northeast that will do it, but here's a list. So I went across to the shop and I thought, God, supposing there's 100 of them, they're £1.39 each. Maybe they've got 1,000 of them. So I said to the young lady, how many of these have you got? So she said, I'll go in the store and I'll have a look. So I went sort of waiting, crossing my fingers, and she said, I've got 7. And I thought, oh God, they've sold all the rest. They've only got 7 left. I said, I'll buy them. And then I put the envelopes on the table. She said, oh, don't you want your envelopes? I said, no, because I only want the cards. That's me. So she looked at the card and said, oh, yes. And I said, well, I'm not happy about it because I didn't give permission. So she's obviously, oh, dear, all right. And, so what I did was I phoned up the actual company that sold the cards, Card Factory, and a very helpful managing director spoke to him. He said, look, I'll just go away and check it. Came back and said, I've gone through the paperwork and I can please to tell you that we followed the code of conduct. We bought this picture from another company called Paperhouse. Here's the phone number for the managing director. So I phoned Paperhouse, same thing, went and checked his records, came back. Yes, he said, we bought this picture from a company called Photo Library. But he said, you'll have a problem because they're in America. So, all right, okay. So, got hold of Photo Library. Very unhelpful. All right, we need to know who you say you are. So I said, okay, how do we do that? So he said to me, well, you tell me when that picture was taken. So I said, well, looking at the picture, I think it was taken in 1998. And he said, oh, good enough, it was taken in 1997. You are who you say you are. What we need now is some more proof. So I had some election leaflets when I stood for re-election around that time of me on posters and leaflets. And I emailed that to him. He said, oh, right, OK. He said, well, what I'll tell you is that the name of the person here is not your name. So I said, right, are you telling me that's not me? And this is a killer. He said, oh, no. I'm not saying that's not you, just the name I've got for that person is not you. Taken by somebody who lives in Texas photographer. So I said, right, okay, where do we go from here? And he said to me, we don't go anywhere because English law doesn't touch us. We are not subject to your laws in England. And further research has shown that most photos of birthday cards are all held in America, Seattle, the company. So anyway, I then phoned up the other companies and said, look, I'm really unhappy about this. And he said, oh, don't worry. He said, we've withdrawn the card. We've withdrawn it. I said, oh, is that because I made a complaint? He said, no, it was a test run. it was a test run and we've withdrawn it. I said, well, how many cards did you make? He said, 7. I said, you're telling me you've made, all you made was seven cards. I said, I've got seven cards. He said, oh, you've bought our entire stock. I said, how can you possibly know if a card is going to be successful if you only print seven? He said, oh, I'm only the managing director. I don't worry about that side of it. So I said, okay, how many shops did you send it to, these seven? He said, oh, one store. I said, which store was that? Oh, your store in Whitby. I said, you're telling me then that a picture with my face on it, you only print seven cards and you only send to one store, which is the store I live in. And do you know what he said to me? It's a small world, isn't it? And I knew he knew much more than he was letting on. So, fine, okay, I'm not going to get anywhere with that. Seven emails later to Photo Library in America, no reply. Thought, sod this, I'm going to go to the newspapers. So I did. I went in, told them the story, and I thought, well, they might do, like, page two, but I've got front page. Big picture, we came to the house, big picture of me. The reason I did that was I wanted pressure on the American company. I wanted the newspapers to phone up that company in America and say, what's all this about? And they did. They phoned them up, and I got the editor of the newspaper phoning me up, and he said, off the record, when somebody says to us no comment, we wonder, what you're hiding? He said, you've come to us, Mr. Parks. He said, we've checked into your background. We know you're telling the truth. He said, we've been on to them. All they'll give us is no comment. And he said, do you want me to take this nationally? And I said, no, because I have an inkling of what this is about. And he said, I understand what you're saying to me. He said, we do come across things like this sometimes. He said, you're probably being very wise. So in short, it doesn't say, it says, Sir Geoffrey was about to discover that bears don't just shit in the woods. It's not saying to me, if you shit on us, we'll shit on you. It's not saying that. What it's saying is, we know what you're up to.
Yes.
But I don't know what I'm up to. That's been identified as a Phantom Four Rolls Royce.
All right.
Okay. I have no recollection of ever being in there. Who was here?
Okay. Well, that is one of those interesting anomalies, hence us being called anomalous. Well, anomalous in our title. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks very much, Simon. Thank you.